13 to 5 verse 11. So I'll give you a couple seconds, a couple minutes to get that, and then I'll read. Great. Starting from chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Let me pray as Laura comes up. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful truths that are in this passage. Thank you that we can have hope in your resurrection, hope in you coming again. Would you fix our hearts and our eyes on that? And would you prepare our hearts as Laura comes and speaks and unpacks this for us? Speak through Lord tonight. And would you, yeah, just give us ears to hear and hearts to listen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Grace. And do keep your Bibles open in 1 Thessalonians 4. And 5 this evening. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking a lot the last few days about how Anthony Joshua must be feeling right now, losing two of his closest friends and support team, being in the same car crash that killed them. Or the families and friends of those in the Swiss ski resort. Many still waiting for news as bodies remain unidentified after a devastating fire on New Year's Eve. In the age of social media, we're confronted with images like these of death and grief daily. And yet by many, it's regarded as the final taboo. People are happy to talk about money, sex, even politics. But death, not so comfortable. And it's understandable, it's personal, it's painful. And I'm very aware tonight that death and grief may be very raw and close for some of you right now. And do please talk and pray with some of us later this evening if that would be helpful. But here's the thing. As Christians, we can talk about death. We should talk about death because we have hope. We are standing firm in a gospel that is death to life, suffering to glory. We have certain hope in death, hope of a day when Christ will return and death and grief will be no more. That is the theme of tonight's passage. In fact, the future day of the Lord's coming is a major theme of the whole of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. It's in every chapter. It drives so much of Paul's teaching, as we've seen already. See, the Thessalonians had started well. Paul is rejoicing. but for them and for us to keep going in the Christian life, standing firm in the gospel, sharing the gospel when it's hard, when people laugh at us, challenge us, when we're faced with temptation, even faced with death, to keep going till the end. We need hope, certain hope of a day when there will be no more struggle or pain or sin or death. A day when as Christians we'll be able to make sense of it all. A day when we will know that it is worth it and we will say our labor for the Lord was not in vain. So look again with me at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We do not grieve like the rest of men, Paul says, who have no hope. Christians have hope. Death is not the end for the Christian. You'll know what this feels like, what this looks like, if you have had the privilege of attending a Christian funeral, where songs like those that we've sung tonight are belted out by believers through their tears. Because in Jesus, there is glorious gospel resurrection hope for the Christian. Some of you may remember or have heard of the very sad and sudden death of a girl involved with Sports Plus 2 years ago, Ellie. She was just 14, loving life, loving her hockey. It was devastating. But hear what Ellie's parents wrote soon after of the hope in the midst of very real despair and grief that they clung to, that they still cling to. They said, "When it comes to death, Jesus changes everything. For those trusting in Jesus, dying is simply like falling asleep. It's not the end. But just like we wake up from sleep to a new day, Jesus will wake us up to the wonderful, now endless day of heaven. And that's what we believe he has already done for Ellie." Such comfort. Hope. Because Jesus died and rose again. The grave couldn't hold him. He is alive and reigning in heaven. Jesus changes everything. Maybe you know it here, but do you know it here? Do you know it here? Jesus changes everything. Jesus died and rose again, and so you will too. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your death. And when he comes again in the clouds, as he ascended with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, everything will change. Verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. We are hoping in a future day when the Lord comes and we will be raised together to new life, resurrected to a new creation, reunited with those who've gone before us, have relationship with Jesus like you've never known. We will be with the Lord forever. We love Narnia in our family. C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia series, describes the end of the children's life in Narnia in the last battle as only the beginning of the real story. He writes, "All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before." we have hope in death, hope of heaven. But there's warning in this passage too. Warning about that future day for those who do not yet trust in Jesus' death and resurrection for themselves. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, Christians, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. This phrase, the day of the Lord, was an Old Testament concept that the Thessalonians will have known meant God's coming judgment. A day when God's wrath would be poured out on all people for their rejection of him. A day of dread when the Lord returns. Here, just a bit of what the prophet Isaiah says about the day of the Lord in Isaiah 2. He says, "Go into the rocks, hide in the ground from dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. On that day, men will flee to caves in the rocks, to holes in the ground from the dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. On that day, men will throw away to the rodents and bats their idols of silver and idols of gold which they made to worship. Stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he?" It's a devastating picture Isaiah paints of humanity without a savior on the day the Lord comes. People humbled for relying on themselves, hiding from the dread of God's righteous and just judgment. Idols of silver and gold worth nothing to them now. And it's the picture Paul gives in verse 3. He says, while people are saying peace and security, destruction will come upon them suddenly. You see, for those in Thessalonica trusting in the security offered by the Roman Empire in idols of silver and gold, and for all people today relying, trusting in the security of their successes or money or reputation or status, destruction is what awaits. Sudden destruction like a thief in the night. The Lord will come when we least expect it. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I've given birth 3 times, and I can confirm that labor pains come upon you suddenly. So child number one, I was at church, just chatting with people, tea and coffee, and when suddenly my waters broke. Now, some of you won't know what I'm talking about, or maybe you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable, but essentially a gushing of water suddenly completely came out of me. And essentially, in this sudden, dramatic and messy manner, our son, Rory, began his entrance into the world, and I was overcome with inescapable pain. That is the image Paul gives of how it will be with the day of the Lord. Sudden and inescapable. It is big, serious stuff, Christianity. And to be honest, so often I feel I'd rather not think about judgment. I'd rather not talk about the day of the Lord. But that would be wrong and dangerous. Look at what happened to Anthony Joshua's team, to all those young, probably successful, wealthy skiers in Switzerland. Did they know the Lord? Did they have hope? I don't know. I hope so. Over the years, I've found it helpful when I'm struggling with the heaviness of this future day for those I love who don't yet trust in Jesus, to dwell and pray over 2 particular verses. The first is John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And 1 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, a judgment day is coming. The Lord will return, sudden and destructive, sudden and inescapable. But in Jesus, you find a God who is full of love for the world he made. He is patiently holding back the day of the Lord's coming because he longs for everyone everywhere to turn to him, to turn from their idols, to worship the one true and living God. God sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross, to take the judgment we deserve, to rescue us from the coming wrath, to give us hope, to give you hope in death, hope in judgment. Need motivation to share the gospel? Here it is. You know, Christians in sport exists, always has, always will, until the Lord returns, that Christian athletes, players, men, women, boys and girls would know for themselves and share with others in the world of sport the awesome salvation that is found in Jesus. The hope that is found in Jesus. That's what this is about this weekend. Because in him, you are safe. And in him, they can be safe too. 5 verse 4, Paul says, "You, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Darkness and light, they're images that belong to this, a present age. But Paul says, you belong to the light, to the day. You belong to the kingdom of him who has rescued you. If you are trusting in Jesus, you are not in darkness. You are children of the light. That is who you are, chosen, loved, and safe. On the day of the Lord Jesus coming, you will be found safe in Christ. It is the greatest transfer of all time. Darkness to light, death to life, paid for by the blood of Christ. You are on his team now. His death and resurrection has broken the power of sin and death. You are free. You are safe. Of course, we don't always feel it, do we? Safe. The battle of the Christian life now is real. Let's be real. We experience the brokenness of this fractured world. I still sin, feel shame, carry fears. But know this, if you are trusting in Jesus, we are safe in him. That is our truest, newest identity, and his Holy Spirit lives in us. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. And the resurrection kingdom is breaking through in your life every day. And one day, when the Lord returns, we will be raised to new life in new bodies that never sin. We will be fully, completely the people that God made us to be. And do you know what? I think it will feel strangely familiar as we find ourselves at last home with the Lord, where we really belong. So what? What is it going to look like to stand firm in this hope? Well, Paul says, verse 6, be ready. Live as children of the light. We know what it is to be ready for game day, don't we? In our sport, we train. We hydrate, we fuel ourselves, we pack the right kit, right boots, and we focus our mind with a motivating playlist. Ready. So let's be ready for the day of the Lord's coming. Verse 6, let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us not, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Sleep and drunkenness are activities of the darkness, normally, of the night. They don't lead to a state of alertness and readiness for obvious reasons. Well, God has put you in your sports club, not to sleep, not to get drunk, literally, but also metaphorically. He wants you to be alert, ready, awake, active in living out your true and new identity as children of the light. I played hockey at uni, and if we started to lose our way a bit and became a bit complacent, our coach would shout from the sideline, "Kiss! Kiss!" Have you heard that one? Keep it simple, stupid. We actually did quite well. We won bucks and things, but keep it simple, stupid. You want to be ready? Keep it simple. Focus on the basics. That's Paul's coaching tip to us here. Verse 8, put on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Faith, love, and hope. It's what he commended in them in chapter 1, we heard last night. And it's what we need in our kit bag. It's what we need to put on each day as we run the race. Faith, love, and hope. It's not that these things will make you ready for Christ's return as if you need to save yourself with faith, love, and hope. No, Jesus alone has made you ready at the cross. But Jesus did not die and rise again that you and I would live the old life before we knew Jesus. He didn't die that we would wallow in guilt and shame or be lazy in good works or be silent in sharing the gospel. No. 5 verse 9, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. You have been transferred into the kingdom of light. You play on Jesus' team now. He died for you so that you might live for him, live with him. Every year in London, I love the marathon. It's an awesome picture. Well, I love it partly because Bri and Duncan run it at ridiculous pace, that it actually is a challenge to me to try and see them anywhere around the course. But I love the picture that it gives us of how we need to not run alone. We need the encouragement of others to keep you going to the finish line. And we are not made to do the Christian life alone. We need one another to keep us going, to encourage us when it's hard, when it hurts. And that's our last point. If you're someone who takes notes, maybe add at the top of your page the word together. Because this passage is about standing firm in hope together. You see, twice in these verses, Paul says, in 4 verse 18, encourage each other with these words. In 5 verse 11, encourage one another and build each other up. If you want to keep going in the marathon that is the Christian life, it will be hard and sometimes it will hurt. But if you want to keep going, look around you. Talk about these things together, about death, about hope. Encourage and comfort one another. Speak of the day we will be raised with him and taken to be with him forever. Encourage one another, no matter how you feel you're doing living for him, with the facts that you are his precious, chosen, loved, safe child. Talk to each other about prioritizing the Lord. Sports people are some of the busiest, right? Training schedules, performance programs, work, social life. Let's help each other live in light of who we are in Jesus. Live in light of the sure and certain day when he will return. Nothing matters more. At this stage in your life, there's so many things you're thinking about. Your studies, you know, what jobs, relationships, you know, where will I live? So many things. But can I just encourage you, do you know nothing matters like this? Nothing matters more than this. And let's encourage one another to share the gospel with those in our sport. The day of the Lord is coming. Don't you long for your teammates to be found safe in him when it does? Imagine getting to heaven, meeting Jesus, then seeing all around you as you sing his praise and glory like we're doing so well this weekend. Seeing around you your friends, your teammates, your brothers, your sisters, people you've competed with, trained with, people you dared to share the gospel with, delighted to share your life with because they've become so dear to you. You know those people. Imagine standing firm in hope together with them on the day the Lord comes. We have hope in death, hope in judgment. Because Jesus died and rose, you are safe. Let's just take 20 seconds just of quiet as we reflect, and then I'll pray.